two lines from the bottom. This is an issue that Izzy brought up a couple of days ago. Ibai Luhu, they had a question in the yeshiva. We know the land of Israel was divided amongst the Jews. We saw the whole discussion, good morning, whether the land was divided to those who left Egypt, whether it was divided to those who entered the land. Maybe it was divided to both. Maybe it was divided to those who entered the land with an input from those who left Egypt. Those were questions we saw earlier. And now they have the following question in the yeshiva. When it was divided, how was it divided? Was it that Eretz Yisrael l'shvatim ifluk, the land of Israel was divided to tribes? In other words, the land of Israel was carved into 12 equal-sized plots, and then each tribe got a plot regardless of how many people were in the tribes. Even though you had tribes, let's say like Yehuda, that had lots of people, and other tribes, let's say Benjamin, that had fewer people, but they both got the same sized plots, because each one got an equal plot. Dilmar, maybe Lekarkav Gavriflik, the land was divided to the heads of people. In other words, a tribe of Judah, with had 70,000 people, got a very big area. A tribe that had 50,000 people got an area that was two-thirds of that big area, because it was that each person, each family, they got the same sized plot. So those tribes that had lots of families got big plots, and those tribes that had fewer families got smaller plots. So is it that it was divided into 12 equal plots per tribe? Each tribe got a big plot, and then those tribes with larger amounts of people, those people each got smaller plots. Or is it that each tribe, and those tribes with less people got bigger plots, the families? Or maybe there was a uniform plot per family, and therefore those tribes with more people, they had a bigger territory, and those tribes with lesser people, with fewer people, had smaller territories. So that's the question. L'shvatim iflug, was it divided according to tribes, 12 equal-sized states, or l'karkav gavra iflug, it was divided according to the heads of people, so then you had different-sized states. Those tribes with lots of people ended up with lots of land, and tribes with fewer people had a plot, had a state that was smaller. So Tashma, come and hear the proof from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, the Pasuk says, actually the Pasuk, before we get to the Braisa, come and hear a proof from the Pasuk itself. The Pasuk says, Al Pia Gorel Techalek Nachalaso, based on the lots, the inheritance should be divided. Bein Rav Lema'at, whether it's a tribe of lots of people or a tribe of few people. So the Pasuk is seemingly saying explicitly that there were 12 equal-sized states, that each tribe got a same plot as the next tribe. So that means that there wasn't that every family got the same size plot. It depended on your tribe. If you were in a tribe of Yehuda where there were lots of people in the state, so the families got smaller plots. If you were in a tribe of Benjamin where there were fewer families in the state, since the state was the same size as the state of Yehuda, so the families got bigger plots, because it was the inheritance was, according to the tribes, Bein Rav Lema'at, whether the tribe was numerous or it was few, they each got the same territories. Votanya, we also learned in another Braisa, which is another proof that it was divided per tribe and not per person. We learned in a Braisa, Asid Eretz Yisrael, Shetashalek L'Shlosha Asrei Shvatim. In the future, when Mashiach will come, the land of Israel will be divided into 13 states. Shebetchilon L'Shalek L'Shneim Asr Shvatim. Initially, the land of Israel in the days of Joshua was divided into 12 states. They were equal, and lonis, but vilonis chalkel b'kesef, and the division was with money. So what the Gemara thinks that means, the Gemara will change it, but what the Gemara thinks that means is that those states that got better land, those tribes that got better land, let's say more fertile land, or land closer to Yerushalayim, so they didn't have to travel as far for Yom Norayim, they would compensate, for the Shalosh Regalim, they would compensate the tribes that got not as good land. So let's say one tribe got land in the desert, in the Negev. Another tribe got land around Yerushalayim, Benjamin. So the tribe of Benjamin, they're getting the same sized state as the tribe that got something in the Negev, but it's not fair. They get land that they can grow things in, land that's close to Jerusalem. They don't have to travel very far come the holidays, whereas the tribe in the Negev is far from Jerusalem, and it's hot, and things don't grow there. So they would compensate them. They would give money to the tribe in the Negev. So I know we got a better plot than you did, so here's some money. We pay them off. I'll pay kesef. They were given with money. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, bein rav l'maat, whether many or few. So the way the Gemara is understanding it is that whether, you know, everybody's got to get something equal. So how could you have equality? Okay, maybe they're equal-sized plots, whether there are lots of people or few people. But how are you going to have equality? Must be that there was some type of calculation. Okay, your plot is worth X, my plot is worth Y. I'll give you the difference so that we'll both have equally valuable plots. That's the Braisa. I'm Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, Sa'ab Yehuda, when you have an area of only a sa' in the territory of Judea, Judea is places like Gush Etzion, Hebron, that's all the area of Yehuda. That Shava Chamesh sa'in Megalil, that's worth 5 sa'in in the Galilee, in places like Carmiel or Tveria, because Yehuda is apparently more fertile. You know, you can grow grapes there and vineyards, it's a better area. So they had to make up the difference. All right, another point says the Braisa, Velonis Chalkel Begoral. And the land was only divided with lots. But it wasn't just lots. Shenamar Ach Begoral, because it says only with a Goral, only with lots. Velonis Chalkel Elabur Vitum. Together with the lots, there was the Kohen. The Kohen Gadol, we know, wore a breastplate that had 12 precious stones on it. And between the stones and the folds of material that held the breastplate, where the stones were mounted on that material, there was a pouch in which was placed pieces of paper that had names of God on them. And with these holy papers, there was a power to the breastplate. Someone could come in front of the breastplate, ask a question, and the breastplate would light up with the answer, because every stone had letters on it, the names of the tribes, plus the names of the patriarchs. So the stones that would light up, you'd know that those were the letters that were of the answer, and then the Kohen Gadol would have divine inspiration to piece those letters together to figure out what the answer was. So that was also part of how we divided up the land. There were lots, but together with the lots, there was asking the Kohen Gadol and the breastplate lighting up, the Urim V'Tumim lighting up, saying such as things like, okay, Benjamin gets the territory around Jerusalem, and Yehuda's right south of him. All of those things were done also with the Urim V'Tumim. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Al Pia Goral, based on the lot. And that sounds like apparently Alpi, based on the mouth. That's something Urim V'Tumim, they're talking. That's what's, as it were, talking. They were speaking up to say what you got. So just to read the end of the Braisa, Ketzatz, how did it work? Elazar, the Kohen Gadol, Melubash Urim V'Tumim, he was wearing the breastplate that had in it the pieces of paper, the Urim V'Tumim. Yehoshua v'chol Yisrael omdim lefanav. Joshua, who was the leader, and all of the Jews were standing in front of him. And he had two boxes. One box had in it, you know, pieces of paper, 12 pieces of paper with names of tribes. And the other box had on it 12 pieces of paper with names of territories. So first there would be a prediction through the Urim V'Tumim. He would, you know, meditate. He'd be in an advanced psychological state. And then, you know, ask the Urim V'Tumim, okay, Urim V'Tumim, tell me what's going to happen now. So the Urim V'Tumim, let's say the stone of Yosef would light up. So it's, okay, Yosef, and then what territories are you going to get? So the stones that would spell out the names of the territory of Yosef would now light up. And then he would close his eyes, put his hand into the box of tribes, pull out a piece, what would come up with Yosef. Put his hand into the box of territories, what would come out of his hand would again be the piece of stone that would have on it the territory of Yosef. And then Va'omer, he would say, Zvulun Ola Tchum Akko, Zvulun, you know, the Urim V'Tum would predict the tribe of Zvulun, which we know were merchants, they're going to get area near Akko, and that's in fact what happened. Tchum Akko Ola Imo, then Taraf Pekalpi Shel Shvatim, he'd put his hand and mix around in the box with all the pieces of the tribes. Va'ala biyado zvulun, it would come out in his hand as the piece of stone set in its zvulun. Taraf Pekalpi Shel Tchumin, he'd put his hand into the box with all the stones of the different territories. Va'ala biyado Tchum Akko. V'chozer Machavim Ruach HaKodesh, he would go back and again meditate with the divine inspiration. Again, ask the Urim V'Tumim for Omer, and then he would get an answer from the Urim V'Tumim that Naphtali Ola, we're going to get Naphtali now. And Chum Ginosar Ola Imo, the territory of Ginosar with it. In other words, the area around Tveria. Taref Bekalfi Shel Shvatim, he put his hand into the box with all the names of the tribes. For Allah Biyadu Naphtali, out would come the piece of stone that set in it Naphtali. Taref Bekalfi Shel Tchumin, V'Allah Biyadu Tchum Ginosar, put into the box. What's that?
Necessity of pulling this.
Very good. The Gemara is going to ask this question. As Fred points out, if you have God telling you which tribe is going to now get a portion and what their portion is going to be, why does he have to now follow up with a lottery as well? That's right. The Gemara is going to ask that. V'chein kol shevet v'shevet, and this would go on with each tribe. And then again, the Brisa continues and says, V'loka chaluka shel olam hazeh, chaluka shel olam haba. That was only true when Joshua brought the Jews into the land. Then the land was divided into 12 states. Each tribe got a state. Then they divided within those states, the people within each tribe, what pieces of land they got. But that's not the way it's going to be when Mashiach will come. Olam hazeh, in this world, Adam yesh lo sad le'avan, one person might get a field. You know, in the days of Joshua, a person could get a field that would produce wheat. Ein lo stei pardes. And then he didn't have a field that had trees in it. That was it. You know, some areas better for wheat, and other areas better for trees. Let's say Yehuda is a good area for wine. Chachlili einayich miyayin, the verse says, your eyes are reddish from all the wine that you have. But other territories like Naphtali, Almerom, Mesada, that's great for wheat and plants and beans. So, you know, one who got a field of plants didn't get a field of trees. Stay Pardes, a person who got a field of trees. Ein lo stei lavan, he doesn't get a field of, you know, plants growing. Halolam abav, when Mashiach will come, ein lecha kol echad ve'echad, every single Jew's portion, Shein lo bahar, will have both mountain and shvela and the low territory, flat plains, as well as Amek, as well as valleys. Shenemar, as the verse says, Shah Ruvain, the gate of Ruvain, Echad is the same thing. As Shah Yehuda is the gate of Yehuda Echad, which is the same thing as Shah Levi Echad. And in the future, when Mashiach will come, we won't have to have Urim V'Tumim, we won't have to have lots. God himself is going to give out the land to every Jew. Shenemar, as the verse says, okay, so this is the Brisa, quite a long Brisa. The Brisa began by saying the land of Israel in the future will have 13 states, now it has 12 states. And it says when the land was divided with the 12 states, there was a, you know, they did money. There was some money that changed hands, sounding like those states that got better land had to pay for the fact that they got better land to the states that got less land. As Rav Yehuda explains, the land in Yehuda is better than land in the Galil. And the Brisa says that the way the land was divided was with, as Fred points out, somewhat of a hard thing to understand, a dual mechanism. Both lots, showing who gets which piece, as well as the divine declaration through the Urim V'Tumim, lighting up the Choshen, showing which tribe got which piece. But in the future, it's not going to be like that. In the future, there's not going to be a difference in quality. Every person's going to have everything. You'll have mountains, you'll have valleys, you'll have plains, and it won't be with lots and the breastplate, but rather God himself will be giving out the land to all the Jews in the future. Yeah, question. One second, Jonathan has a question.
Rabbi, we spent a lot of time going through dividing up the land, making sure people have the right size land, and it's done fairly.
Yeah.
In previous masechtas, we spent time discussing the quality of the land and making sure that, that you know, in a purchase, there were three different qualities of land,
mm-hmm.
right? it's possible here that somebody got low quality land.
Right. Right?
What mechanism, or was there a mechanism to pay the people who were compensated if they
got it sounds like here, till now we've thought it's money. We'll have to see. We'll see later. The Gemara is going to change it. The Gemara is going to say in the end that the lower quality land, they got more of it. And those who got higher quality land got smaller plots. That's what the Gemara will ultimately say. But the Gemara at this point is saying that there was a payment mechanism. And you who, and the Gemara is going to say that that makes no sense because money is only for the moment, but land lasts.
Right, yeah.
So you can't possibly...
future value.
Right. So the Gemara is going to say that the difference was that those with higher quality land got smaller amounts of it, and those with lesser quality land got larger amounts of it. So Rabbi Yehuda said that the area of Judea is five times better than the area of the Galilee. So if someone got a piece of land in Judea of an acre, his cousin from another tribe who got land in the Galilee got 5 acres.
But over a longer period of time, you're diminishing the present value of it. Meaning a small piece of high quality land will yield more over time the longer you hold it than possibly.
I don't know. I mean, he had small, but then they had children. The children inherit. Who knows? The land gets divided up further. Yeah, is he a question?
Sorry, I guess. Just to verify, Kohanim and Levim, I think we asked this question, but my memory is I'm getting old. If they didn't get chelek,
right.
So what really they were living?
They were living off of Trumos and Maser.
No, but Adama, Bait.
They were 42 cities.
They had.
Yeah, every tribe gave them some cities, and they lived in those cities.
Yeah,
Arei Leviim and the Migrashim. What's that?
Would that be right to say that Kohen Gadol is not mentioned at all in the Chumash? The Milah Kohen Gadol?
Why, Aaron is the Kohen Gadol.
Aaron Kohen Gadol, but they didn't say Kohen Gadol. Aaron Kohen.
I don't think so.
Kohen Gadol started when he got there, but was not met in Midrash yet.
No, it's Parshas Tetzaveh, as Jason points out, and Parshas Emor.
Jason, you say that's the difference between my age and your age.
Lloyd, a question.
So obviously this wasn't a lottery. This was Hashem and picking. So
right.
Why do we
think? Mario was going to ask that question. Why do you have a lottery plus with the declarations of Hashem?
Why from day one they put a divisional to come again, and then they're talking about when Moshiach comes, then becoming again one united. From day one they put a division. Moshiach comes in. Moshiach comes in when everybody's in a galut and they're gonna bring him in. We were not in a galut when we were all in Israel.
Because of our sins.
So why they were talking about Moshiach then? Moshiach
was there everybody already. Knew. We always knew we were going on the way to
so
Moshiach.
They knew it's gonna be
Jewish history has been clear. Katzani Mias, but the Braisa says, however. Initially the land was divided to 12 states. Shmamina, so you see, l'shvatim ifluk, shmamina. That's a good proof. Yes, it was divided to 12 states, and the states presumably were equal sized. It wasn't that, those tribes with more families had a bigger territory. Each tribe got an equal sized territory. There were 12 states. Okay, so that proved it. Amar Mar, we just said, Asid Eretz Yisrael, Shetashalik l'shlosha sur shvatim. In the future, when Mashiach will come, there are going to be 13 territories within Israel. Idach Laman, who's the 13th for? They only have 12 tribes. So Amar Rav Chizda said, Lanasi for Mashiach. Dechsev, as the verse says, the Ha'oved and the slave. You see what Mashiach is called. He's the slave of the Jewish people. Ha'ir Yavdu Mikol Shiftei Yisrael. He's going to have a city. They're going to work him. They're going to work for him from all the tribes of Israel. So all the tribes of Israel will contribute so that he have a portion. Amalei Papa Abaye, Papa said to Abaye, Ema Rungar Ba'alma. Maybe all that means is that the various Jews will work for Mashiach, but not that they're going to give him land. Lo Sakataitach. It's not what it means. The Ksiv, because the verse says, Vanosar Lanasi Mizeh Mizeh. And what's left over for the king, from this side and this side. The Truma Sakodesh V'Achuz HaSa'ir is going to go over to a donation to the sacred, and for the it'll be also part of the city. So it sounds like that the king has his portion, and besides what the king gets, some of it goes to Yerushalayim, but you see that the king gets his portion. Going back to the Brisa. The Brisa says that they made up the difference with money. So what does that mean? So this is the question that Jonathan was asking. Elin was shufra v'sanya, for better land and worse land, and the people who got better land had to give money to the people who got worse land. Are we dealing with idiots who are willing to leave good land for the sake of some money to have bad land? Ella, so what does it mean? To the land that was closer to Jerusalem versus the land that was further from Jerusalem. So the land that's closer to Jerusalem is better because it's easier for him to get to the Beis HaMikdash. It's further away from the enemies. The land that's further from Jerusalem is worse because you have enemies there and it's harder to get to the Beis HaMikdash. So the people who are further from Jerusalem, they got money for the fact that they were further from Jerusalem. Kitanoi, now this question that the one who got a land closer to Jerusalem had to compensate those who got land further from Jerusalem is really a machlokas tanoim. Rebbe Lezer, Omer, as you say, b'ksafim ha'alua, that those who got, you know, better land, namely land closer to Jerusalem, had to compensate their brethren by paying off those who got land further from Jerusalem, paying off those who were further from Jerusalem with money. However, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Bekarka Elua, Rabbi Yeshua says, no, it was a question of they paid each other off with land. So those who got better land, land that was closer to Jerusalem, allowed their cousins who were further from Jerusalem to get larger plots of land because they had to minimize their amount of land. So they had smaller lands and the others had bigger lands. And the land of Israel was divided with a lottery. As the verse says, only with a goral. So, Tanu, we looked at a brisa. The fact it says, ach begoral, only with a goral, yatsu Yoshua v'kalev, to exclude Yoshua and Kalev, who got plots without a lottery. So, Lamai, in regards to what were they excluded? Elim lo shakul klal, that Yoshua and Kalev didn't get anything. One second. Hashid lav did who shakul. They even got the land of the spies, that which they weren't supposed to get. So did Humi Baya, is there a question that they got their own lands? Ella, what it means is Shlo Natlu Begoral El Al Pi Hashem. They didn't take through a goral. They didn't need a lot to determine what portions they get. God commanded explicitly what portions are given to Yoshua and Kalev. Yoshua Dichsiv, Yoshua, as the verse says, Al Pi Hashem Nasna Lo Asair Asher Sha'al, based on the word of God, they gave him the city that he requested, which was Timnat Serach in Har Ephraim. Siv, it says, Sarach, Uksiv, and it says that he was buried there. That Vayikru Osobikvul Nachoso Betimnas Cheres. So there it was called Cheres. Now it's called Timnat Sarach. So in the book of Yoshua, it's called Timnat Sarach. In the book of Shoftim, it's called Timnat Cheres. So Amr Belazar, Belazar explained, Batchila Peirosel Kecheres. Before Yoshua got it, it was a place that had land that was like earthenware. The fruit that came out of it was like earthenware. They were dry, they weren't fresh, they weren't good. But once Yoshua got it, so now it belongs to the tzaddik. So the land of a tzaddik is blessed. So then the land was, the fruits were so luscious, so ripe. If you'd leave them there, they'd become overripe. They would start smelling and becoming too good. They were very, very good. Because, I mean, others say, B'tchila, before Yoshua got the land, the fruit was masrichin, it was timnat serach. They were too ripe, they were too rich, and they were too, fatty, so therefore they couldn't be preserved for a while. It's called the timna of the serachon, of that which is spoiling. But after Yoshua got it, so his merit caused that it became kecheres, that it became like earthenware, something which could last. Kalev the Siv. Kalev, the verse says about him, also that he didn't need a lottery to get the land. He got it directly from Hashem. As it says about Kalev, Yitnu le Kalev es Chevron, Kasher diber Moshe. They gave to Kalev Chevron as Moshe commanded. Vayoresh Misham, and he uprooted from there Shlosha B'nei Ha'anak, the three sons of giants. So the Gemara now asks, how could you say that Chevron was given to Kalev? Chevron Ir Miklat Avay. Chevron was a city for the people who killed by mistake. Amar Abaye, Abaye answered, Parvasa. He got all the suburbs around Chevron. Kiryat Arba. The verse says, "Vesteya ir veschatzei reha," and the fields of the city and her courtyards, Nasnu l'Kalev ben Yefune, ba'achuzaso, were given to Kalev ben Yefune in his inheritance. So, I thought there was the Gemara that speaks about why you needed both the Goral and the Urim V'Tumim. And the Rashbam says that first they did the Goral and then they did the Urim V'Tumim. So first they did the Lot and then they asked the Urim V'Tumim. And so, it was sort of, the Urim V'Tumim was like a control mechanism. Did our lots work well? Let's check with the Urim V'Tumim. So they did first the Goral, picking out a lot, and then asking God, this is right? It's that, Naphtali getting Ginosar, and then the Urim V'Tumim would respond whether it was right. So it was to make sure they did the right thing.
When they were in Israel
in Israel?
In Sinai.
In Israel. In Israel. Okay, we're up to the next Mishnah. So the Mishnah has a phrase that the Gemara is going to struggle to try to figure out what it means. The Mishnah says, Echara ben vechara bas v'nachala. Both the son and the daughter are equal in inheritance. What does that mean? We don't believe that. We've been saying all along that the son gets and the daughter gets nothing when there's a son and daughter. Elosha ben noto pishnayim, but the son who's a firstborn gets a double portion, v'nichsei av, from his father's possessions, v'noto pishnayim, v'nichsei aim, but if he's inheriting from his mother, he doesn't get a double portion. If he's a firstborn, he just gets a regular portion. V'abanos, another thing, the daughters, even in a case when they don't inherit, let's say they're sons, but nizonos v'nichsei av, nizonos, they have a right to be provided with food from the property of their father until they get married, even if that exhausts all the assets. But if their mother dies without children, there is no lien on their mother's property to provide for them. Asks the Gemara, what does it mean the son and the daughter are equal in inheritance? That when a father dies and there's a son and a daughter, the son gets 50% and the daughter gets 50%. That's not true. That's not the Mishnah said, Ben Kodon Lubas. If you have a son and a daughter, the son gets it all and the daughter gets nothing. And Kol Yotzei Yerecho Shel Ben. If the son's not alive but he has descendants, all of his descendants would get everything Lubas and the daughter would get nothing. So Hamar of Nachmar Yitzchak answered, this is what it means. Echra Ben Vechra Bas, both the son and the daughter. Not Limberoi Kibiyut B'mochzak. When they inherit not only the lands and things that their father or mother actually owned, but the things that their father was going to own, right? Things that, let's say, his father added at the time of his death. But eventually his father's going to die, then he's going to get it. Then his children would get it. So Gemara said, well, now it's even that. We also have a Mishnah. Benos Tzalafcha not lushlosha chalakam benachla. The daughters of Tzalafcha get three portions in Israel. Chelek Avian, the portion that their father was supposed to get, Shayim Yotzi Mitzrayim, he was someone who left Egypt, so he was entitled, and he died in the second year in the desert. And the portion he was supposed to get from his with his brothers from the possessions of Chefer. Now we know Tzalafcha died before Chefer, presumably, right? He died in the second year in the desert. Chefer was one of the Jews who was out there. They were dying because of the sin of the spies. They were dying later. So the property of Chefer, when he died, was only Ra'u. It was land that should be coming to him. And even so, they were able to get it. But, and furthermore, even if you're going to say that the Bryce is telling us this point, which is obvious, Why does the Braisa then go on? But the son gets double in his father's possessions, and he doesn't get double in his mother's possessions. How is that even connected to the first point of the Mishnah? Elam Rav Papas, Rav Papas suggested, Achikam, this is what the Mishnah means. Echad ben v'echad abas, the son and the daughter are the same, that notlin chelek b'bechorah. That if their father was a bechor, so they get their father's double portion. So the son could get it if there's a son, and if there's no son, the daughter would get that double portion. That's exactly the Mishnah we learned. That the daughters of Tzlafchad, because Tzlafchad is a bechor, no toshnei chalakim, they got two portions. Oh, and furthermore, my Ella, again, why does the Mishnah continue? But, what's the but connected to? Elam Ravashi, so rather Ravashi said, oh, this, wait, this is what it means. Echad ben ben abanim, ve'echad bas ben abanos. Whether it's a son amongst sons or a daughter amongst daughters. Im Amar, if the father said, Yirash kol nechasai, I want all of my possessions to go to this son, or I want all of my possessions to go to this daughter amongst my five daughters, Tvar of Kayamim, then that daughter or that son gets it all. Keman, who's this Mishnah following? Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. It's like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who holds that a father can do that. I katani lola kaman, but we have that law later. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, im amar al mishiroi liyarsho, if he allocates all of his assets to someone who is fitting to inherit him, dvar of kayam, his commands last. Al mishiroi roi liyarsho, in dvar of kayam, but if he tries to do it to someone who's not a fit to inherit him, it doesn't work. And if you're going to say that the reason why this Mishnah said this law was to tell us that this is a Stam Mishnah, it's a Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi feels doesn't need to be attributed to a particular source to say that it's the law, but it's actually not the law, because Stam V'achakach Machlokasi. You have a Stam Mishnah, but later you have a dispute, and the rule is Stam V'achakach Machlokasi, and Alachak is Stam. And again, V'od, and furthermore, my Ella, what's this but the son gets a double portion of the father, but not from the mother. This is what the Mishnah means. Just like both son and daughter are the same, whether they are inheriting from father or inheriting from mother. So therefore, if mother leaves over sons and daughters, only son gets and not the daughter. If mother only leaves over a daughter, the daughter would get the mother's property. If father left over only a daughter, the daughter would get father's property. Ella, but what's the difference when we say that they're the same in terms of father and mother? Shaben notel pishnayim benichsei av. If it's an inheritance of father's property, the son who's a bechor gets a double portion. Beno notel pishnayim benichsei aim. But there is no double portion from mother's property. Yeah.
How do we completely do away with the fact that we learned that son gets it all and the daughter?
We didn't undo it. We're saying that the son gets it all if there's a son and daughter. But if there's only a daughter, then the daughter gets it all. That's the conclusion.
But here it's saying the son and the daughter get it.
No, we raise that as a possibility that we reject right away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No. Rabbi Chananya ben Akashi Omer, Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lizakos Yisrael, Lefichach Hirbalahem Torah Mitzvah, Shneamar,